2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 for our text. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. At the 10 o'clock hour, we have been studying the image of God in man, and we are currently involved with the restoration of the image of God in man. Because the image of God has been so terribly defaced in the fall, it needs to be restored. Because man is a fallen, sinful creature, totally depraved and corrupt, and spiritually dead, God in His sovereign grace must restore the divine image in man. This restoration begins with regeneration or the new birth, and is continued in sanctification and brought to completion in glorification. And there are a number of passages in the New Testament that speak of renewing the image of God in man. Last week we considered Romans 8, verses 29 through 30. And here we see that the restoration of the image of God in man is the very purpose and goal for which God has predestined His people. I read Romans 8, 29 and 30. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image, icon, of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. So in this text, there is a sequence of five verbs that reach back into eternity and forward into a forever glory, an endless future. These five verbs form a chain, and every link of the chain describes God's sovereign work in saving His elect. All five verbs are aorist tense and depict then that this work is already accomplished in the will and purpose of God. Even our final glorification is fixed in eternity. God has predestined His people to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the true and perfect image of God, and it is God's eternal purpose in saving His elect to conform us to the image of Christ. This is the foreordained destiny of every believer. The Greek word for conformed is sunmorphos. It's a compound word derived from with, sun, and morphe, meaning form, of like form. God is making His people of like form, conforming to the image of Christ. That is the design and purpose for God in the salvation of His elect. But now for today, we will consider the restoration of the image of God in man as a progressive process. The process may, this process is better known to us perhaps as progressive sanctification. Our text, which we read earlier, is 2 Corinthians 3:18. And in that text, I want to note the central idea of the text is in the clause, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. From glory to glory denotes a progression. So we read 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's take a closer look at this text. But we all is emphatic here in the text, and it refers to the experience of all Christians. We all includes all the people of the New Covenant, all believers, Christians. In the context here, the we is contrasted to the unbelievers whose hearts and minds were veiled. And the all is contrasted to the one Moses. All Christians may approach the Lord as Moses did without a veil when he went up into Mount Sinai to receive the commandments of God. We all, every Christian, has access unto God in the new covenant. And then we note, with open face, and this has direct reference to verses 14 and 16 above, speaking of Israel, but their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it or Israel shall turn to the Lord, that is face to face, unveiled, the veil shall be taken away. Israel's minds were blinded, and there was a veil upon their heart. Their heart was hardened. And they could not commune with God with an open face, unveiled. Their hearts were hardened. But more particularly, this text points to Moses, who faced God, unveiled, and communed with God, and entered into God's presence without a veil. This great and high privilege of seeing the glory of the Lord was granted only to Moses. Moses asked the Lord in Exodus 33, reading from verse 18 to 23. Moses asked the Lord, he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes thee, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face thou shalt not be seen. So Moses saw the hind parts as the Lord passed by. Only the aftermath. And Moses was open-faced as he communed with God. But when he came down off the mountain and spoke to Israel, he had to put a veil on his face. The veil was put on to cover the glory that radiated from his face, which Israel could not look upon. That was the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the New Covenant, all believers now, from our text, come unveiled into the presence of the Lord. And if we note in verse 16 that this is described to Israel as Israel's described as coming unveiled, being face to face, pros kurion is that preposition pros there, meaning face to face, unveiled. In the New Testament, the New Covenant people come unveiled before the Lord and are able to behold His glory. The veil is removed forever. And we find in verse 17 that there is great liberty in this where the Spirit of the Lord is. And then we see beholding in a glass or a mirror the glory of the Lord. Beholding as in a glass. This is one word in the Greek New Testament, katoptrizo. It's a rare verb. It is only used here in the New Testament as a participle. This verb means to mirror. To mirror. However, in our text, it can be interpreted either as a middle voice or a passive voice. So in the middle voice, it means to see oneself in a mirror. In the passive voice, it means to be mirrored or to be reflected. So the interpretations then are either beholding the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, or two, reflecting the glory of the Lord like a mirror. I go with the middle voice. Beholding the glory of the Lord as in a mirror. Now here's the problem with our verse. When one looks in a mirror, they see their own image. When you look in the mirror in the morning, you see your own image. Our text says when we look in the mirror, we see the glory of the Lord. So how are we to understand this? We look into a mirror, we should be seeing our own image, but we see the glory of the Lord. What is Paul telling us here? I think we can easily resolve this by understanding something of mirrors in the New Testament. In the New Testament era. In the New Testament era, a mirror, we didn't have silver-coated glass back then. That technology didn't exist as we know a mirror today. Back then they had polished metal, and that served as a mirror. And the polished metal was typically brass. And there are cases in which they engraved a pagan deity in the mirror. And Pastor Downey has seen such mirrors in the British Museum in London. So when a person would look in the mirror, and if this is the mirror that Paul is talking about, it gives us a wonderful interpretation of the text. As the Christian is looking into the mirror, he sees the outline of deity, and he's, you know, you contort your face, you twist your face, you try to line up with the engraved image of the deity. And if this is what Paul is referring to, then it gives us a very wonderful interpretation. The Christian looks unveiled into this mirror. He sees overlaid upon his reflection the engraved image of the glory of God. That is the image of Christ. He sees his image being conformed to the image of Christ in the mirror. And he beholds the image of Christ in the mirror, the glory of God, and tries to align his reflected life with it. And the degree in which the reflection aligns with the engraved image of Christ in the mirror is the degree he has been conformed to the image of Christ. He sees, when he looks into the mirror, he sees a spiritual transformation to the very likeness of Christ. For we all see the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ, who is that perfect image of God. And that is what God is transforming us into the image of Christ. So this brings us then to the central idea of our passage. Who are changed into the same image from glory to glory. We note the same image, into that same image which he sees engraved in the mirror. The image of Christ he's being changed into. He sees the glory of Christ. The veil has been removed, and he rejoices in the fact that he is being transformed into that same image. The Christian sees a continual process of transformation into the image of Christ. The process begins at regeneration, with a new birth, where God infuses life into the soul, and the reigning power of sin is broken, and the satanic blindness, the eyes are opened, and life is put into the heart of man. And it begins this process of being conformed to the image of Christ. That is why Christ came into this world and suffered and died for us, for he is conforming us to his image. We are being transformed. This is a spiritual metamorphosis. That's the Greek word used here. Metamorpho. This word is used only four times in the New Testament for changed or being transformed. It's used four times, and two times it describes the transfiguration of Christ. Matthew 17:2 and 9, and Mark 9:2, where Christ's face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as the light. This is the word used to describe the Christian who is being changed into the image of Christ. And this verb, metamorpho, is in the present tense. It denotes a continual action. The Christian is continually being transformed into this image. The same image, which is described as the glory of the Lord. What's the great example in biology of a metamorphosis? It's the caterpillar. This incredible creature of God that is this ugly caterpillar that forms a cocoon and emerges out of the cocoon as a beautiful butterfly. It's called metamorphosis. And this is what God is doing to the Christian. We begin as ugly caterpillars. In the end, we'll be beautiful butterflies. He's conforming us to the image of Christ. And this phrase, from glory to glory, we read, emphasizes the progressive nature of becoming more Christ-like. A progression of one stage of glory to another, one degree of grace to another degree of grace. Believers are in the process of growth. No one has arrived. It's a process of growth where we gradually go from one degree of glory to another. As I said, this restorative process, being restored back to the image of God, is known as progressive sanctification. It's a progression and growth in holiness. And we as Christians are reflecting the glory of the Lord more and more in our lives as we mature in the grace of God. And finally, this process of being transformed into the image of Christ is something that is done by God. Being transformed, metamorphoumatha, is in the passive voice, indicating that is something done by God. God is acting upon us. It is God's work. This transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit, as we're told, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The preposition used here is not by, but from, apo, indicating the source from whence this glorious transformation flows. It is the Lord who is the Spirit. The noun Spirit is placed last in the verse, and it indicates emphasis that it is the Spirit of God that receives this emphasis and works in the people of God. The transforming power by which we are made like Christ flows from the Spirit. Our spiritual metamorphosis is the work of the Lord in and by His Spirit. You see, sanctification is primarily the work of the Holy Spirit, who indwells the believer, who leads and guides the believer, who convicts the believer, who illuminates the believer, who assures the believer. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to apply the work of Christ's redemption to His people. It begins at regeneration. It continues in the life of the believer through progressive sanctification. And it culminates in glorification, where we will be the perfect image of God as Christ. It's the Spirit of God that conforms us to God's image. For this is His very office, as I said, to apply the work of redemption to His people. So I have a couple observations that I'd like to make. We mentioned Moses, who had that peculiar privilege of communing with God face to face, unveiled. And he entered into that presence of the Lord with that confidence and that open-facedness that we're told about in our verse. But you remember, after he came down from Mount Sinai and he delivers the commandments of God to Israel, his face shined with the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord was reflected from his face to such a degree that Israel could not look upon it. See, there was no question or doubt whether Moses had been with God. And there was no question as to the commandments that Moses gave to Israel, that they were spoken to him by God himself. For he radiated and reflected the glory of God. This was the Old Testament. In the New Testament, all Christians have that privilege of communing with God unveiled. And all Christians have free access into the presence of God. And as Paul said one verse earlier in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit is, there is liberty in this. There is freedom in this. And God shows His glory to us through His Word and by His Spirit. And we ought not only comprehend this, but we reflect the glory of the Lord in our lives. This is what the verse 18, our text is telling us, reflecting that glory in our lives as God transforms us into the image of Christ. Can people tell from our lives that we have been in communion with God? Or is there any difference in our lives, in our conversations, that people see the reflection of the glory of the Lord in our lives? What are we reflecting in our lives? Are we reflecting the image of Christ? Or are we reflecting a love of this world? When we look into the mirror, can we see something in our lives that God is conforming us to the image of His Son? Can we see that progress in our lives? What do you see when you look into the mirror, the spiritual mirror? Do you see God changing you into the image of His Son? Do you see God progressing you and maturing you from one glory to the next? These are things to think about. For if we're not progressing and growing in grace, then something is very wrong. A Christian is to grow and to become more and more conformed to the image of Christ. And this will necessarily be reflected in our lives. How are you being reflected in this world? Does the world see your reflection as an ugly caterpillar? Or does it see your reflection as a beautiful butterfly? Has your life been transformed? Have you been metamorphosed? Have you been metamorphosed? Second observation is this. And I make this observation because I think it's in the text and from my own experience. And probably your experience too. A Christian's growth in grace is a slow and gradual process. We are not entirely sanctified overnight. And we will never reach a state of perfection in this life. That, of course, won't be obtained until the end of the world, in the coming of Christ and the resurrection, where we shall be raised and made into that perfect image of Christ. But in this life, we must fight against indwelling sin. There is a principle of indwelling sin that we will have, that we will scrapple with until the day we die. That's why the Word of God tells us to mortify, to kill the deeds of the flesh. The Word of God tells the Christian to lay aside the sin that so easily besets us. We are scrappling with sin. And at times, we fail. And at times, we're discouraged because we don't see that growth in grace. We suffer setbacks. We go into valleys, spiritual valleys. We lose assurance. Has God really saved me? But then there was the peaks and the high points of faith, where we do see the glory of the Lord. And we do reflect the glory of the Lord in our life. And you see, there's these peaks and there are these valleys. But overall, if you look at like a sine wave, it should be increasing. You'll have your peaks, you have your valleys. But overall, if you take the average, you're on an incline and you are increasing slowly and gradually in sanctification. If you take a look, if I look at my sanctification, say like last week. I don't see much difference. If I look at my sanctification a year ago, I might see a little bit, maybe, if I look into the glass. If I look back to when God first saved me, there is a vast, vast difference. I am a completely different person. But that was 30-some years ago. But overall, the Christian must look at their life, peaks and valleys, as increasing and going from one glory to the next. And that God is at work in our lives. And this process can be slow and gradual and discouraging. But God is at work. And God is sanctifying us. He which hath begun a good work will perform it. That is, he will perfect it. He will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God is making you from one glory to another glory, gradual in process, to be conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect image of God. But you must run the race. You must run the race, and you must finish the course that's set before you. Remember Hebrews 12:1, after that great exposition of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, the writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," speaking of the heroes of faith, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us." Speaking of a long distance runner in a stadium, the long distance runner comes into the stadium and there are a cloud of witnesses there of those who have gone before and have successfully completed the course. And they are there to witness to him that you too can finish this course. Let us lay aside every weight. A long distance runner takes off all the weight. A marathon runner will take all the weight off of him if he can. And they ran back then almost naked. And the sin that does so easily beset us. Lay aside that weight. You can't run the race holding all that weight. That sin is holding you down and impeding you from running this race. And let us run with patience the race. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. It's a long distance race. And you run steadily with your focus on the goal. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, you must run the race. And you must exert every effort in this race that you are to run. For every step closer you get to the goal, you are moving from one glory unto another glory. It's quite a wonderful... These metaphors that Paul uses are just really wonderful. And brings home the point. Being conformed to the image of Christ is a process. It is a long distance marathon. And God is gradually changing us into the image of Christ. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. You'll have your setbacks. You'll always be fighting sin. But you have the enabling grace of God. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Is that right? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father,